رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. The theme for the present talk is introduction to the Quran. You know, Quran is believed to be a word of God, a book of God. It was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first quarter of 7th century during 23 years of his prophethood. Quran was not sent as a complete book at a time, but it was sent in a fragmentary way according to the occasion, according to the situation. Prophet of Islam died in 632. Before his death, he compiled all those verses and chapters revealed upon him. So present Quran in the book form was compiled by the Prophet himself. After the death of the Prophet, people copied this compiled book. So it must be understood that Quran was compiled in the present form during the Prophet Muhammad himself. Quran, there are 114 chapters in the Quran. Some small chapters, some large chapters, and there are 6,000 and some 500 verses in the Quran. Then if you take a copy of the Quran and you start reading it, you will find that the first verse of the Quran is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This verse is repeated in the Quran no less than 114 times. It shows the importance of this verse. It means, in the name of God, most merciful, most compassionate. So this verse introduces God as a merciful, as a compassionate. It means that God wants to promote culture of mercy and compassion among people. God is compassionate, and God wants people to be compassionate to others. Every believer is required to be well-wisher to all mankind, not only to other believers, but all mankind. So well-wishing or compassion is the universal culture of Islam. Then the first chapter of the Quran is Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim, Sirat Al-Lazina An'amta Alayhim غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا الضالین. In this first chapter, there are basically four teachings, four tenets of Islam, four important tenets. First is Alhamdulillah, saying Alhamdulillah. Thanks to God. Alhamd means shukr or thanks. Thanks to God. This is the most important aspect of Islamic teachings. God is the creator, God is the sustainer, God is the giver. All those things we enjoy in this world was given by God. Everything is blessing from God. So we have to acknowledge God by saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah is not simply a lip service. It's not uttering some words. Alhamdulillah is a storm in one's soul. It is a thrill. So when you think about the blessings of God, you are thrilled. So under this thrilling experience, you say Alhamdulillah. This is the first requirement by the believers. Then Malik Yawmiddin. Malik Yawmiddin means Lord of the Day of Judgment. This is the second most important teaching of Islam. It means that everyone is accountable to God. Everyone is accountable to God. Everyone will be presented at the Day of Judgment. So everyone must remember this fact that he is accountable to God. This is the most important teaching of Islam. Accountability is the most important teaching of Islam. It means that we are here not only to live for some years and then die. No, there is death, there is life after death. Our life span is divided into two parts, pre-death period and post-death period. So death is not death. Death means entering in the second phase of life. So it's very important. We must believe that there is a day hereafter, there is hell, there is paradise. This belief is called Al-Akhirah. Al-Akhirah. Aqidah Akhirat. Then Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. We worship God. We worship you. O God, we worship you. So worship or ibadat is most important teaching of Islam. Man was created by God, so man must worship God. God is only, we have to admit that God is the only God. God is our Allah, our Ma'bud. So, no person other than God is liable to be worshipped. Worship is only for God. Worship means submission, surrender. Complete submission, complete surrender. Worship is not simply a set of rituals. No. Worship means submission. Worship means surrender to God. Then, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. It means that, O God, show us the right path, As-Siratul Mustaqim. Man requires As-Siratul Mustaqim, the right path. It is God who can show us the right path. Right path means that we have many, many questions. Who am I? Why I was born on this planet Earth? What is pre-death period and what is post-death period? What is the future? So every question is involved. So Sirat-e-Mustaqim is one who gives you answer to all these questions. And Sirat-e-Mustaqim comes only from God. No one other than God can provide you a Sirat-e-Mustaqim, right path. So here believer says, O God, show me the right path. It means that I want to follow your path. So show me that path. It is readiness. It is an expression of readiness. It means that I am ready to follow your path. So O God, show me that path, that As-Siratul Mustaqim. This is the first chapter of the Quran. That is Al-Fatiha. Then the second chapter is Al-Baqarah. In Al-Baqarah, you read the story of the first man, that is Adam. Adam was the first man created by God. And after creation, God settled Adam in paradise. Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. God said, O Adam and your wife Hawa, you are allowed to settle in paradise, to enjoy everything in paradise. But la taqraba hadhihi shajara, don't approach to this tree. So in paradise there was a forbidden tree. And Adam was told that you are not allowed to eat the fruit of this tree. You have to maintain a distance from this forbidden tree. But Adam forgot this direction. Under temptation, he ate the fruit of that forbidden tree. Then God said that now you have to go to planet Earth. So then Adam was settled in this planet Earth and all his generation. Here is a very important lesson, that man was born initially for paradise. Paradise was created for man, and man was created for paradise. But it requires a test. So now here we have put on test. Present earth is a testing ground. Everything we enjoy on this earth is a test paper. So on this earth, the same culture is required. We are free to enjoy everything on this earth, but there is a principle, do's and don't principle. Some things are forbidden and some things are allowed. Some things are haram, some things are makruh, some things are unlawful. So man must refrain himself from all those things that are unlawful, that is haram. This is the test. For example, man is given freedom. Every man and woman are free. But they must not misuse their freedom. They are allowed only to use their freedom in a proper way. They are not allowed to misuse their freedom. So everyone who uses his freedom properly will go to paradise. And all those people who misuse their freedom, they will be deprived from paradise. They will go to hell. So this is the lesson that we read in the Quran with the reference of Adam. Adam, the story of Adam tells us that although we were born for paradise, but paradise will be given on selective basis. Only those people who prove to be a deserving candidate for paradise, they will be fine entry into paradise. And those people who prove by their record that they don't deserve paradise, so they will be deprived from entering into paradise. So re-entry of paradise will be on selective basis. Re-entry into paradise will be on this selective basis. Only those people who prove to be a deserving candidate, they will find entry into paradise. Otherwise, no. So this is the lesson given by the Quran with the reference of Adam and Hawa. Then, in some sense, Quran is the record of prophets. Some scholars have said that Quran is a Sarguzasht-e-Anbiya. Sarguzasht-e-Anbiya means record of prophets. History of the prophets. Now, if you read the Quran, you will find that there are 25 prophets mentioned in the Quran. 25 prophets. And what was the mission of these prophets? The mission was Rusulan Mubashirin wa Munzirin لَأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةً بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. This verse you can find in the chapter An-Nisa. It means that God sent prophets as a warner and as a giver of good tidings, so that people must not have plea before God. The same is said about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuha nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'iznihi wa sirajan munira. This verse refers to the Prophet Muhammad. O Prophet, we have sent you as a witness and as a giver of good tidings and as a warner and as one who invites people to God. So here you can see that the mission of all the prophets was one and the same. That is, in other words, dawa work. Dawa fi sabilillah or dawa work it was the only mission of all the prophets. Now what is dawa? Dawa means making people aware of the creation plan of God. This is in Zohar and Tafsir. Making people aware of the creation plan of God. This is dawa work. And all the prophets were sent for this mission, for dawa mission. Then there is a question, why there were so many prophets? One can say that only one prophet was enough. One prophet was enough. He must give a book to mankind, and this book will remain up to the last day, up to the final day of the history. So one book and one prophet was enough. No. Although the teachings of the divine religion is one and the same, as far as the ideology is concerned, the divine religion is one and the same. There is no difference. Same ideology, same teachings, same principles. So in ideological sense, religion is one and the same. But situation varies in every time and every place. So these prophets are models how to manage dawa work in different situations. These prophets are different models. Different prophets are different model that how to maintain dawa work. How to maintain dawa work while managing the different situations. So dawa work is like a river. You know, river comes from the top of the mountain, then it flows on the land. In the land there are different situations, up and downs. Sometimes there are rocks or stones. So river faces different situations. Although river is one, the stream is one, is only the only purpose of river is to flow until its destination. But the situation is different. Land is different. So river is bound to flow under odd situation and different situation. Some ups and downs. But river always manages and it flows. The only purpose of river is to flow continuously. So river always try to manage all those odds and continue its flow. This is a natural manifestation of dawa in the world. God has made river as a demonstration how to continue dawa work. So all these prophets sent by God are models. Models for what purpose? That is, how to continue the river of dawa flowing while managing all those odds, all those differences. So these prophets were sent in different situations, different places. they successfully managed these differences. All these prophets successfully conveyed the message of God to their contemporary people. But at the same time, they were good example to manage all those odds and differences. So prophets are exemplary models how to continue dawa work eternally up to the end of history while managing all those odds, all those differences. So all the prophets are model. We have to study our situation, and also we have to study prophet's history. We have to find out which one of the prophets is. We have to find out which one of the prophetic model is applicable to our situation. After studying our situation and after studying the prophets, we have to find out which one of the prophetic model is applicable to our situation and then adopt that model. So every model is required model. Every model is perfect model. Quran says, لَا نَفَرَّقَ بَيْنِ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِ. We don't differentiate between this prophet and that prophet. لَا نَفَرَّقَ بَيْنِ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِ. It means that all the models are perfect model. All the models are ideal model. All the models are required model. What is needed is to find out which one of those prophetic models are applicable to our situation. Here I would like to give you some example. Let us take Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim was sent to Iraq. Iraq at that time was most civilized area of the world. But at that time, civilization was based on shirk. At that time, civilization was completely based on shirk, polytheism. So people were conditioned in shirk. All those people were born in this civilization, they were conditioned with shirk. Shirk was the dominant concept of that time. So it was impossible for those people who were born in this civilization, mystic civilization, to understand the idea of Tawheed, idea of oneness of God. So Prophet Ibrahim preached and conveyed the message of God to his contemporary people, but he felt that these people are conditioned. They are unable to understand the concept of Tawheed. So under the guidance of God, he left Iraq and he settled in a desert near Mecca. He settled his wife Hajra and his son Ismail in this desert. At that time, Mecca was completely a deserted area. There was no civilization, no human dwelling. It was completely a natural place. At that time there was nothing but desert, sky, sun and moon and mountain and air and stars. That's all. So there was nothing but nature. There was no civilization. So Prophet Ibrahim settled his wife Hajra and his son Ismail in this area to create a new nation, a nation that will be born in this area. And he saved himself from being conditioned. This was the plan of Prophet Ibrahim. It happened in this area, in this desert, there arose a new kind of nation, new kind of people. They were free from conditioning. Every person from this generation was Mr. Nature. If in Iraq everyone was Mr. Condition, in this desert everyone was Mr. Nature. It was this generation that gave a team to the Prophet of Islam. The Prophet of Islam, by availing this team, was able to bring about a revolution on the basis of Tawheed. Then let us take Prophet Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf was sent to Egypt. At that time, Egypt was ruled by a king, Hyksos. Hyksos king. It is mentioned in the Quran, also in the Bible, that Prophet Joseph or Prophet Yusuf found a formula of adjustment with this king, although this king was mushrik. But he adjusted with this king. He accepted an office under the rule of this king. Why? This king was, according to the historical account, this king was a very different kind of king. His nature was a passive nature. Passive. Completely passive. So he said to the Prophet Yusuf that you can take charge all the departments of my government except throne. I will be on the throne as a king, but all the departments of government are under your charge. So this king was a unique type of king. He has no political ambitions. He was not an aggressive. His nature was not aggressive nature. His nature was a passive nature. So he never interfered in any matter with the Prophet Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf was completely free. So he organized our work in Egypt. Although the king was mushrik, but he allowed Prophet Yusuf to do everything freely. So here we can find an example that if the government gives us freedom to work, then we will accept the government. If the government is of that kind that he abstains from interference, there is no interference from the government, and we are free to do the work, then we will accept that government, although this government is secular or this government is mushrik. All these things are irrelevant. It is a great example, beautiful example. If we find in such a situation, when government is ready to not interfere in our matters, then we will accept this government, whether it is mushrik, whether it is secular. But if the government is giving us freedom, then we will accept it wholeheartedly. This model we find in the Prophet Yusuf. Then let us take the example of Moses. Moses was also sent to Egypt. But at that time the ruler was quite different. Now the ruler was Pharaoh. At the time of Yusuf, the ruler was Hyksos, a very passive nature. But at the time of Prophet Moses, the ruler was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was very arrogant, despotic king. Pharaoh was an arrogant king, a despotic king. Even he wanted to kill all the men of Israel. So here we see that there was a confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh. So this is another model. So Prophet Moses conveyed the message of God to Pharaoh, and then he left Egypt. Prophet Joseph lived in Egypt until his death. He never left Egypt. He lived in Egypt and also he died in Egypt. He was buried in Egypt. But Prophet Moses left Egypt. He migrated from Egypt and he settled in Sinai, far away from the Egypt. So here we can find two different models. If the king is a passive king, if he gives us freedom, then we have to adjust with him. And if the king is arrogant and despotic, then we find some other way according to the situation. So these are two different models. Then let us take the model of Prophet Jesus, Prophet Isa. Prophet Jesus was sent in Palestine, before the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at that time, Palestine and the adjacent areas were under the rule of Romans. Romans were ruler of this area at that time. So it was a different situation. Prophet Jesus wanted to carry on Dawah work. So he adopted a new formula, which was quite suitable for that situation. He said, give to king what is due to king. Give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. And give to God what is due to God. This was the formula given by Jesus Christ. It means that avoid confrontation with the king and avail the opportunities in the field of Dawah. So this formula worked. And you know, the disciples of Jesus Christ followed this formula, and the result was miraculous. The result was miraculous. Now you know, Christians are the largest community, largest religious community in the world, in the present world. They have adopted this formula given by Jesus Christ, that give to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and give to God what is due to God. That is, don't go to confrontation. Don't go to confrontation with the king, and do the work without confrontation. And this formula was very, very suitable for that situation. So this formula was very wise formula. Wise formula. And you can see the result. So these models, these prophetic models, tell us how to mind the situation and at the same time carry on the dawa work. So the real target of believers is dawa work. According to the Quran, all the prophets were sent for dawa work, for inzar and tafsir, for dawa, and all the believers must follow this pattern. So our mission is dawa mission. Mission of all the believers is dawa mission. Dawa mission means to convey the message of God to all mankind. But situation varies. There are differences in situations. So we have to manage the situations. We are not allowed to alter the mission. We are not allowed to alter the mission. But we are required to manage the situations. It means that don't opt for confrontation with the situation, with political rules, with political situations, with political obstacles. You are not allowed to go to confrontation. You are required to manage the situation. Manage means seeking some kind of adjustment. Managing means seeking some kind of adjustment. So as far as the dawa mission is concerned, there is no compromise in dawa mission. But as far as the situation is concerned, we have to find some compromising formula, some formula of adjustment. We have to manage the situation so that the river of dawa will flow until the destiny. This is the prophetic wisdom given by the Quran. Prophetic wisdom. Then there is the example of the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sent in Arabia, in Mecca, in the first quarter of 7th century. At the time, there was no kingship. There was tribal system. In Arabia, there was no kingship. There was tribal system. So, what happened? Although these people are idol worshippers, they became hostile. They turned hostile to the Prophet of Islam. So there were some atrocities, some obstacles, some problems. But the Prophet was able to have support from the people. He was able to form a team of more than 1 lakh people. No prophet of the history was able to form such team. No prophet. Prophet of Islam was able to form a team of believers. These believers were more than 1 lakh people. So the situation was quite different with the Prophet of Islam. So when the opponents, when his opponents waged war, they wanted to kill the Prophet of Islam, they wanted to destroy the mission. So Prophet of Islam organized defensive war, organized defense, because he was not alone, but there was a strong team with him. His companions were a strong team. So Prophet of Islam, although he was completely a peaceful person, he always tried to avoid the fighting. His formula was As-Sulhu Khair, peace is the best option. He always avoided the confrontation. Confrontation or fighting was not his method. His method was completely a peaceful method. Prophet of Islam said, "Inna Allah yu'ti al-rifq ma la yu'ti al-'unf." God grants to non-violence what He does not grant to violence. Then He said, "La tatamannaw laqal aduwwe wasalu Allah al-'afiyah." Don't wish confrontation with your enemy. Don't wish confrontation with your enemy. Ask always peace from God. This was the method of the Prophet of Islam. But when there was attack, when there was aggression, and all kind of attempt to avoid failed, so there was no option other than to go to war. So Prophet opted for some time, only 3 or 4 times. But as he was very, very strong, his companion were very strong, so he achieved success. He became victorious. He was able to Islamize the whole Arabia. He was able to capture Makkah and purify the Haram. That was, you know, in the Haram they have placed 360 idols. Although the Kaaba was built for Tawheed, for oneness of God, but in later days, Mushrik occupied it and they placed several hundred idols in the Kaaba premises. So Prophet of Islam was able to occupy Kaaba and purify it, and he was able to Islamize the whole Arabia. This is another model. So all the prophets are different models. All these models are ideal models. All these models are perfect models. It is situation that will determine which one of these models are required for us, are applicable to us. Then the Prophet of Islam bring about a revolution in the history. At that time, I mean in the first quarter of 7th century, there were religious persecution everywhere in the world. Religious persecution in Arabia as well as in other countries. But Prophet of Islam with his companions was able to bring about a change, to bring about a revolution. This revolution changed the course of history. And due to this revolution, now we are living in a situation where there, everywhere there are freedom, religious freedom. Now we are living in religious freedom. There is no religious persecution. So now, that situation which was during the Prophet Joseph, now we find the same situation at a greater level. At that time only one king was passive king, having a non-interference nature. But now the whole system is the same. Now the whole system is committed not to interfere in religious matters. So now we have no other option except to compromise, except to adjust, like Prophet Yusuf. So now the at present in our contemporary situation, we have to avoid all kind of political confrontation. There is no need to go to political confrontation. We are free. We have to enjoy freedom. We have to avail the opportunities. So we have to avail all those opportunities and do the work. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.